Wonderful name. Well, you have your Bible open to Luke chapter number 2, and around this time every year, for many years, I have preached about the Christmas story and what God has to say in His Word about Christmas. I do that for a purpose. One is because I believe God leads me to do so, but two is because I believe that more and more our world is getting twisted about what this season's about, and it's even crept into our churches. And so I just like to keep people focused. I want to stay focused, and I believe you want to stay focused, and sometimes we just need to get in the Word so the Word of God can help us stay focused on really what the season's about. You know, there's a saying going around, Jesus is the reason for the season, and well, He certainly is, but I just want to say that so are you. If you wouldn't have sinned, Jesus wouldn't have come. Amen. But we are sinners. And Jesus did come, and I'm glad that He did. Amen. Amen. I'm glad that Jesus had me in mind when He came, aren't you? Amen. Amen. So I celebrate the fact that God sent His Son, and I celebrate the fact that Jesus came. I want to begin here in Luke 2. We'll go over to Matthew 2, and we'll kind of go back with those two chapters, Matthew 2 and Luke 2. So if you'd like to, you can go ahead and find your place there in Matthew chapter number 2. And I just want to talk to you about some mindsets that people get around this time of year. Just, I guess, the spirits, the attitudes of people around this time of year. If we're not careful, some things will slip in. And I think you realize this. The devil, the world, has tried to hijack Christmas. That's right. And they're trying to take everything that's holy and sacred about our Savior and about God sending His Son and turn it into festivity and pageantry that really is, that's not what the season's for. You say, now wait a minute now, preacher, you're not going to go all Scrooge on you. Well, see, there you go. Making a reference to things that the season's not even about. This is not about Scrooge or Grinch, or this is about Jesus. Amen. Amen. And we heard it in Sunday school, for to me to live is Christ. And I want to keep it that way, and I believe you do too. But now, I want us to go back. Look, if you would, Pastor BJ read in your hearing, and we'll start here, and as I said, we'll go back to Matthew 2, and then we'll eventually end up back here in Luke chapter number 2. And I just want to give you some mindsets that I think we should be cautious of, because it can slip in. And so let's look at what happens here. The Scripture says, as you're reading this, I hope you know what's taking place here. The government gets involved. The government always tries to get involved. And it just created really the first Christmas rush. I mean, Jesus was going to be born, and some things happened, and there was a decree put out, and I mean, there was a Christmas rush, so to speak, where people were just moving about and doing things, a lot of hustling and bustling and moving about and preparation and packing and traveling and visiting family. You say, visiting family? Well, yeah, let's look at what Scripture says here. Verse number 1, it says, it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus. I don't know how much you know about the Caesars, but Augustus was no different than many of them. He thought he was in charge. And I'm amazed at how government officials think they're in charge. Can I tell you, God's in control? Amen. See, God moved this whole thing. God manipulated, listen, he arranged this whole situation. God set into motion all of this to get Mary and Joseph into Bethlehem. Why? Because God said that's where it was going to be, in Micah. And so in order for that to take place, God began to move things and orchestrate things. And so here's a man thinking, like so many today, I'm in charge. Well, I'm going to tell you something. God's in charge. Amen. Man, you say, well, who are you referring to? Just fill in the blank. It doesn't matter. God's in charge. And so the Scripture says here that it came to pass in those days, there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Now, this was not something new. I hope you know a little something about the background, what's taking place here. Every 14 years, which is a generation, every 14 years, there would be this call to all the males that were born in their hometown to go back for taxation purposes. Okay, they had to go back for military purposes to the city or the birthplace of their fathers. And so Joseph, being of the lineage of David, well, he's going to have to go back to Bethlehem. And God knew that, and God orchestrated this to get them back. And when they went, they had to record their name, and they had to record their family, their occupation. They had to just kind of, it's almost like what today we would consider a census. And so in order for this to take place, God said, okay, it's going to happen. Listen, right when Mary was ready to deliver. Isn't that something? You say, wow, what a coincidence, preacher. Yeah, it was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Can I tell you that what man calls coincidence, God calls providence. And so God moved this thing around, and the scripture says that all the world should be taxed, and this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. Now, I want you to notice this very important piece of information here. You see, those that were born in that town, as I said, they went back to the city of their fathers. Well, they were the lineage of David. And so a lot of these folks over the years, as they would go back and they would travel back, they would meet. It's kind of like renewing old acquaintances with family and friends, much like what people do today. And they would just meet, and though they would maybe never meet any other time, but when it came this time, every 14 years, then they would meet and they would kind of catch up, and they would maybe meet family members that they haven't seen in a long time. And so a lot of people at this time in this passage of Scripture that we're reading, they knew one another, and they were familiar with one another. And so there was a lot of things taking place that, well, you just have to know a little something about the history and the background in order to see really what took place here. And so the Bible says in verse number 4, Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth. That's about 80 miles to go to Bethlehem. And he went into Judea and to the city of David. Now he went there because, that, as I said, it was the birthplace of his fathers. And the scripture says it's called Bethlehem because he was of the house of the lineage of David. And he went there to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And it's about time. It's Mary's time. The scripture goes on to say in verse number 6, and so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. It's time. You would thought that someone would have said, tell you what, you know, we've got news. I mean, you say, should they have gotten news? Well, you know, you just have to understand what's happening here. Word had gotten out. You know what it is to live in a small town. Word had gotten out. Have you heard? Mary's with child. And her and Joseph's not even married. They're betrothed. They're espoused, right? But they're not even married. And she's saying that it's God, that the Holy Ghost came over her. Folks back then talked behind people's back like folks do today. Yeah. They put their own stories together. And so here comes Joseph and Mary, and they come into town. And I'm not going to, you know, reap scorn or throw scorn in verse number 7 where it says she brought forth the firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. I'm not going to heap scorn on the innkeeper. It's not really even mentioned. But I will say this. I think that statement says a lot about the attitude that I want to talk to you about as our first thought here. Crowded. Crowded. Now, if you're not careful, not me preaching. Well, wait a minute, hear me out. If we're not careful, our schedules will be so busy that we'll really forget that this is about Jesus. That this is not about shopping. This is not about gifts. This is not about family. This is not about festivities. This is not even about a Christmas candlelight service. This is about Jesus. And if we're not careful, we'll go back to this and we'll get so busy traveling and packing. And I mean, the town was buzzing. People, a lot of family members, and they had come from afar and they had gone back to the land of their fathers. And they, well, what's been going on in your life? What's been going on in your life? Catching up, renewing some things. And if we're not careful, it's going to happen to us. So, preacher, it won't happen to me. Well, now be careful now. It just may. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but how many of you have already bought gifts? Don't raise your hand. Have you got Jesus one yet? Now, you sure you're not going to get overcrowded? Have you thought about really what you're going to do for Jesus? And not for your grandbaby? Say, well, preacher, stay out of that category. Well, I'm just saying. We can do things and try to make ourselves believe, no, that's not me, but it is me. All the while, we're thinking, well, it's the world. It's Washington. It's these non-Christians. Well, if we're not careful, we won't have room for him. Can I tell you that the world's never had room for Jesus? Our government, it doesn't have room for Jesus. Our educational system, it doesn't have room for Jesus. Hear me. Many churches don't even have room for Jesus. Right? Hey, there'll be churches that'll meet today and the name of Jesus won't even be mentioned. The plan of salvation won't even be given. The Word of God won't even be opened. And yet, those will be the ones that will be pointing their fingers saying, well, you know what? They're this and they're this. We need to evaluate and examine our own selves. What about us? What about me? What about you? What about my family? What about your family? It's easy to point a finger and say, well, you know what? They're not celebrating. They're not recognizing. They're not including Jesus. Well, how are we? Is he at the forefront of the season? Is he really? Or is it the trees and the mistletoes and the tinsel and the Rudolphs and the Frosties and all of these things that people have just added on and they become just a big part of something that really it's not a big part of? The Bible says there was no room. They had a lot going on. You say, preacher, I bet if they knew that Jesus was going to be born, they'd have made room. Well, I don't know. I think there's a lot of folks that realize why we celebrate the season, and they still are not making room. Right? I wonder if there's someone here today. Maybe that it's just, you just got, it's so easy to get sucked into this stuff. It really is. We've got the places now where churches don't even recognize Jesus. There's Christian people that are saved in the grace of God, and they just get so caught up in all the pageantry and all the programs and all the presents that they just forget. That's really not what this is about. You could do away with all of that and still celebrate Christmas.
Amen.
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 I can tell I've robbed some of your stocking stuffer. Well, I mean, it's just like, well, preacher, next you're going to tell us there's no Santa Claus. We're believers, brethren.
Right. Amen.
We believe this book.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
And whether therefore we eat or drink or celebrate Christmas, we ought to do it all to the glory
Amen.
Of God.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Make room for him. Because if you don't, on purpose, there'll be no room. It's an intentional act. It's something that you plan. It's something that we do. We make room for Jesus. And we don't just make room. We let him have the preeminence in our lives. Right?
Amen.
Go back, if you would, just for a moment. So here's a group of people. They didn't have room. Okay? It wasn't just the inn. Listen, don't take that phrase there. It wasn't just the inn or the innkeeper. There were townspeople there. All right? Don't you think that this town didn't know what year it was? I just want to make this very clear now. That old innkeeper, what he didn't love Jesus. He wasn't compassionate. Well, there's a lot of folks in town that knew what was happening. They knew they were going to be guests. They knew it was the year for taxation and the year of census. They knew that the town was going to be buzzing and that there's going to be a lot of people traveling in. They could have, listen, you can't convince me that Mary walking around like this, they didn't know, well, she might be ready to deliver.
Right?
Right?
Yeah.
The world's never had room for Jesus. God orchestrated this. Because as in birth, so in life, Jesus hath nowhere to lay his head. The Son of Man, listen, he hath nowhere to lay his head. He was without a home. You understand that. Right? He spent his time in ministry. Now, he had a place that he could call home. But he made it very clear. The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head.
Amen.
But I'm glad he's going to prepare a home.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
far yonder, we heard about it in Sunday school, beyond the blue, an unclouded sky, brethren. We're headed to that place. We're headed to heaven. That's our eternal home. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. So don't you think, well, Jesus is homeless. Well, he was, but he's not. Just want you to understand that. Now, go back to Matthew just for a moment. Matthew chapter 2. We have another group of people here that, if we're not careful, we can adapt. And there's many that have taken this mindset in Matthew chapter 2. The Bible again gives in Matthew chapter 2, it says, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in verse number 1, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and have come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled. That's a very interesting word. It just means that he was unsettled. His heart grew hard. The Bible says it wasn't just Herod that was troubled. Look at what the scripture says when he heard these things. But all Jerusalem was troubled with him. The word trouble there is unsettled, uncomfortable, uneasy, calloused. The Bible says that here was a man, and here was really a whole town that was uneasy about this king that was being born. I could go into telling you all the reasons why, but it's just simple. Herod wanted no rival. He said, there's room for one king in my life, and I'm it. Much like many people today. See, that's why they try to get Jesus out. We don't have room for Jesus. Why? Because we don't want him to run our lives. When you mention the name of Jesus, listen, Jesus is either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. It's not Jesus and. I'm going to serve Jesus in the world. No, you're not. See, that's the fallacy of a mindset that has crept into our churches today, that you can have Jesus and the world. No, you can't. It's Jesus or. He's Lord of all or not Lord at all. That's right. Jesus will let you be Lord of your life. He will. But what a big mistake that is. And so here's a group of people, Herod, who said, you know what? We don't want anything to do with it. As a matter of fact, it so bothered him. If you'll just skip down in verse number 16, you know the story here. Very familiar passages of Scripture. It's the Christmas story. It's the account of the Scripture of Jesus coming into the world. We're very familiar with it, but if we're not careful, we'll end up like these people. Yes, there's so many people. I talk to so many people so often, and they'll make statements like this. Boy, I just wish it was like Christmas used to be. You sure? Well, if we could just go back the way it was the first Christmas. I don't know. There was a tyrant who was killing children the first Christmas. They were people who were callous and hard and had no room for Jesus. Just like it is. It hasn't changed a whole lot, brethren, is what I'm trying to say. It hasn't changed a whole lot. But if there's going to be change in my life, in your life, in this church, in Bible-believing churches, it's going to have to come from us. We cannot allow the world to hijack Christmas and start. Listen, Silent Night's out. Jingle Bell Rock is in. Right? I mean, that's crazy. It's crazy. We're going to have to say, no, that's not what it's about. It's not. This is not about that. This is about God sending His Son to die for our sin and sticking with it. The scripture says here that Herod, he was angry. He felt threatened. And the scripture says that he went on, if you'll look in verse number 16, Herod, when he saw that he was mocked, and you know the story here, how that he told the wise men, you go find him, and when you find him, you know, bring me to him so that I may worship him too. We know what he had in mind. He was threatened. He wasn't for God. He wasn't for Jesus. He wasn't for what was right. He had a scheme. He had a plan. He tried to play the wise men, but that's why they're called the wise men. They would not be played, and God, you know, he moved them not to to give this information to Herod. And so he got so upset when he felt mocked in verse number 16 that he was exceeding wroth, and he sent forth and he slew all the children in verse number 16 of Matthew chapter 2 in Bethlehem and in the coast thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Just went on a killing spree. Want nothing to do with this birth of Jesus. Want to get rid of it. We don't want it mentioned. And so it's not Merry Christmas. Don't want to hear you say that. It's Happy Holidays. It's not a Christmas tree. It's a holiday tree. So, well, I'm all right with that, preacher. I'm not.
Amen.
You shouldn't be. It's not a Christmas break. It's a winter break. A winter break? That's a Christmas break.
Right.
This is Christmas time.
Amen.
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 This is Christmas time, brethren. This is about God. This is about Jesus. This is about rescuing and redeeming. That's what this is about.
Amen.
It's not about these other things. You say, preacher, don't fuss at me. I'm not fussing at you. I'm preaching to you.
Amen.
I'm telling you that if we're not careful, what little we have is going to be taken. We're being hijacked. And we're allowing it. We're even participating in it. By the grace of God, I'm not going to.
Amen.
Amen. So here was a group of people that were just, listen, it was Herod, but it says in verse number 3, and all Jerusalem with him. There's a concentrated effort by the leadership of this country. So I'm glad you're a Republican, preacher. I'm not talking about Republicans, Democrats, independents. I'm talking about the leadership of this country wanting God out. God out. I realize there's a few believers in positions of leadership, but as a whole, our government wants God out. You understand? Our schools want God out. You get that, right? They want nothing to do with the God of the Bible. They want nothing to do with Jesus Christ. Oh, they might tip their hat to baby Jesus, but when it comes to Jesus being the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, they will not bow. You understand this, I hope. It's the world that we live in. And as a church, we have to stay focused on what the book says, and we have to stay lined up. And we have to give glory to God, and we have to give attention to the fact that Jesus Christ is what this is about. I thought about this and I wrote it down. Around this time of year, because of what we've allowed, people are even weary of Christmas. I talk to them almost every year. Whew, I'm glad that's over. I'm not. You know why? Because in spite of the fact that many Christians did celebrate Christmas, the other things that we allow to just bombard us and to bog us down, it's just got us worn out. We're worn to a frazzle. We're tired. We're ready for it to be over. Let's move on now. We should be, listen, the songwriter said, joy to the world, amen. We ought to be full of jubilance and celebration. God sent his son to die for us. Praise the Lord. God sent his son into this world that we might live through him.
Amen.
Over and over and over again, the Bible says, God sent his son. God sent his son. God sent his son. In the fullness of the time, Galatians 4, God sent his son, made under a woman, made of a woman, made under the law, that he might redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons. And ye that are sons, he has sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. We ought to be rejoicing in that. We ought to be praising God in that. Not saying, well, I'll be glad when all this is over. No. No. 1,000 times no. But because we've allowed all this outside stuff to get in, and it just takes hold and takes root, and we're becoming like the mindset of Herod. Get rid of it. Want nothing to do with it. Not me. I wish we could celebrate, and we can, that Jesus came every day. Right?
Amen.
There's another group of people Look in verse number 3. These people of all the attitudes that I see in the scripture, these really, I mean, it takes me back a little bit. There was that first crowd. They had a crowded heart. They just had so much going on, they just didn't really have time. They had no room to squeeze Jesus in. And then this crowd, this king and these folks in all Jerusalem, they were troubled. They just didn't want to hear about it. It's almost like it was offensive. You can say Merry Christmas to some folks today and they just look at you like that you've offended them. Well, I'm a Jew. Well, Merry Christmas to you. Amen. That's the Savior that's come to save the world, brethren, not just Gentiles, Jews too, the Jews first. Amen. I've actually had somebody tell me that. Merry Christmas. Well, I'm a Jew. Well, if you're here and you're a Jew today, I just want to say Merry Christmas to you. I'm not trying to be smart, I'm trying to be mean-spirited. Well, I don't believe the Bible. Merry Christmas to you.
Amen.
Amen. I don't believe in Jesus. Merry Christmas to you. I pray that you would realize the reason of the season and you would know Jesus as your personal Savior. You would truly understand why God sent His Son into this world. Amen. You can't say Merry Christmas to the wrong person. No more than you can witness to the wrong person. Somebody say amen with me now. Some of you, well, preacher, we didn't build our gingerbread houses now. What are we going to do? Well, just go home and eat them. Amen. I don't know. I'm not saying don't celebrate the season. I'm just saying be careful. Hey, this stuff can happen. It can happen. It can happen to independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist. Yes, it can happen. Look at this group. Verse number 4, the Bible says, and when he had gathered, this is Herod, when Herod had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he got them a committee together. All right? You say, who's these chief priests and scribes? Well, I'm just going to give you the short version, okay? They were a sect of the Pharisees that interpreted and wrote out the law, and they were almost like lawyers. Maybe that's all you need to know. Okay? So we called them together in verse number 4, and he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And the Bible says they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea. It's almost like everybody knows that, right? In Bethlehem of Judea. You know, Micah 5:2. Well, we thought everyone knew that that's where the Christ was going to be born. And the scripture says this, look at it. And he, after he got them together, and he said, for thus it is written by the prophet. Right? And then the scripture says in verse number 6, and they give him the verse, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art now thou the least of the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. So they give the information that was given to them, and as far as I can tell now, I mean, I've searched and looked, and if you can find anything different, I'm open to it. These people were so closed. These people were just so cold. They were so careless. Now, I really want you to hone in with me on this one, okay? It's something that they had up here. I mean, they had it good up here. They were so good of telling people, but they didn't have it down here. You know how far it was from where they were to where they told to go? 5 miles from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. 5 miles. Are you listening? There's no record in the scripture that they mounted their camels and rode with the wise men. They knew. But they didn't care. Because it didn't mean enough to them. You say, well, preacher, I sure am glad that times have changed. Oh, but they haven't. You know, when the attendance in most Bible-believing churches starts dropping down? Christmas time. Ask any pastor. the giving starts dipping. We can't give Jesus a gift and 50 family members too. I'm just stating the facts. I'm not fussing or jumping on or riding anybody. I'm just telling you the way it is. I'm not quoting statistics from Southern Baptists and Presbyterian and evangelicals. I'm talking to you about Bible-toting, Bible-believing, sin-hating, spirit-filled Christians. Churches where people come and they hear the Word of God, they want to live right, and if you're not careful, you'll get a spirit like this. It can happen to you. It can happen to me. It can happen to us. Oh, no, preacher, that would never happen to me. Now, be careful now. Be cautious. Because here's men who knew it up here. They had the facts. They just didn't have the faith. They were informed but not enthused. You know anybody like that? They know all the truth. They're just not excited about it. I ask you again, do you know someone like that? We know. We're just not excited. Not excited enough to move us to action. Right, brethren? Yeah, okay, God sent His Son. I'm 60 years old. I've celebrated it now that I can recall. Maybe 55 years. Preacher, what do you want me to do? Get excited about it. Amen. God sent His Son. Amen. Amen. Our sin's been forgiven. Amen. We have a relationship with God. We're going to heaven. Amen. Amen. Thank God for the goodness of the Lord. If we can never praise God for His goodness in our life, surely to heaven we can do it around Christmas time. And yet here's a group of men, the chief priests and the scribes, that, you know, they said, oh, yeah, that's right. Bethlehem, Judea, that's 5 miles down the road. Have a nice trip. It boggles my mind. Well, kind of. But I've been pastoring for about 35 years. And not that I could say just a flock, but if I'm not careful, it can creep into my life. Oh, now, preacher, I wouldn't admit that. Well, God knows it. Why would I try to hide it from you? See, I wasn't raised in a Christian home. I thought Christmas was Rudolph. Frosty. Right? Santa. Christmas lights. When I got saved, God began to do a work in my life. And teach me there's something far deeper to this than what you know about, son. And I hope God's done that in your life. He wants to. So we've looked at three situations here, okay? We've looked at a crowded heart. Now, it can happen. We can get so busy. Sometimes it's with good stuff, too. It could even be church stuff. We've talked about it. The church can get so busy doing things for Jesus that we don't worship Jesus. Worship and service is not the same. Amen. So I'm just saying, be cautious now. I have no indictment in my hand. I'm just saying, be cautious. Then not only is there a crowded heart, you know, that second group, there was that callous, that cold heart. We don't want anything to do with it. I mean, they get furious when you mention the name of Jesus or when the name of Jesus is brought up, or Christmas. They just get furious. And then there's this group, this careless, just closed in their heart, that God wants to do a work in their life, and that God wants us to be excited, and God wants us to rejoice, celebrate, worship. You ever thought about what these guys missed? I'm going to close it this morning with that thought. I was going to go on down to, and we'll talk about this another time, but, you know, I'm glad that not everyone reacted that first Christmas in a negative way. Thank God for the wise men. Well, I tell you, you're talking about a determined bunch. Have you really ever stopped to think about what they did? Some people believe that they traveled as far as 300 miles And it took them a long time. I mean, they searched and they searched. And when they finally did get to Jesus, he was a young child. These things of the wise men and around Jesus, at the, you know that. It's not biblical. The wise men at the manger, that's not biblical. When they found him, the Bible says he was in a house and he was a young child by that time. I mean, they were on a quest, brethren. They were not going to stop short of worshiping Jesus. Don't you think there were not many obstacles now in their journey and in their travel, but yet they had determined in their heart, we are going to find him and we are going to worship him. God, give me that resolve. God, give me that mindset. God, put that in my heart. I don't want to let the least little thing cause me to deter and to turn and not to worship Jesus. I want to be strong in my resolve. I want to be like the songwriter. I am resolved to follow the Savior. So the wise men, we'll look at just some of the things. They gave of their treasures. They were just, you know, and I have to do this before we close in Luke 2. But look at verse 13. Of all the things in Matthew 2 that I like about these wise men, I like what the Bible says in verse number 12. It says, and being warned of God, I'm in Matthew chapter 2, verse number 12, in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country. I like this, another way. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. What can I tell you? When you are resolved in your heart to find him and to worship him, you will leave another way.
Amen.
Now, I know what the Bible's saying here. But nonetheless, I don't think I'm doing anything to harm the scriptures and to say it. When you meet him, when you worship him, you will leave another way.
Amen.
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 Now I want to close this, okay? I want to close in Luke chapter 2. Would you go back? So we talked about the crowded heart. Now, don't have a crowded heart. I know there's a lot going on. We're all busy people. It doesn't take Christmas to make us busy. Somebody say amen right there.
All right.
We're busy people. And so I don't want to crowd Jesus out of my life at any time of my life, but in particular around the time that we're really to acknowledge the fact that God sent his son. I just want to be faithful to him, and I believe you do too. And then we looked at not only the crowded heart, but we looked at the callous heart. And those that are just have this bad spirit and just, you know, there's something, I don't celebrate Christmas. Well, I don't believe you came December 25th. You know, we could talk about that some too. Whether you believe that or not, you ought to be rejoicing in the fact that he did come.
Amen.
Amen. And then there's those like that group who just had that kind of, you know, that closed heart. Like, you know, it's not worth it. It's just a bunch of stuff and this and that. And they didn't go. But now in Luke chapter 2, Pastor BJ ended his reading in chapter 2, verse number 7. I want to pick up verse 8, and this is where we'll close this morning. We'll close with the positive, a captivated heart. Here's a group of people, their hearts were captivated. And we're going to talk more about these guys as we draw closer to Christmas itself, these shepherds. What an interesting group that God chose to give the message to. He didn't choose the chief priests. They had it up here. He didn't choose the scribes. The Pharisees, the religious people. He couldn't count on them. It had been 400 solid years, right? You know this, right? Between the Testaments, 400. No, there's no prophecy in the land. But he chose these men, these commoners. They were not even welcome into the temple. Many believe that they were actually overseeing the sheep that were going to be used in the temple sacrifice this night. What a revelation, if that is so. And so verse 8 says, and they were in the same country. They was in the same country. Shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Thank God for that. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And there shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly There was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said one to another, "What's the big deal?" It's not what they said at all. It moved them to the core of their soul. The Bible says, unlike the religious people, the Bible says that they said, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with what? Haste. And what? Found. They searched and searched. I mean, they hurried down there and they searched and they searched and they searched. Why? It meant enough to them. It meant something to them. Unlike those dead beats that said, "Well, we know what the Bible says. We got it up here." They had it down here, brethren. There was something stirring in their heart. They said, "Listen, God has given us a revelation, and we want to find out who this child is." And they went down there with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. Watch this now. "And when they had seen it, they made known abroad, saying, 'It's Christmas time. It's Christmas time. Celebrate Jesus.'" Amen. Hey, they began to tell everyone everywhere they went, "Jesus is born. Christ the King is born." Most folks today, on this side of this day, they say, "Well, you know, Merry Christmas." No, it's joy to the world. The Lord has come. The Lord has come. These folks were excited. It's the last time you got excited about Jesus coming. We get excited about so many of the wrong things. If there's everything that we as Bible-believing Christians ought to get excited about, is that God sent His Son into this old sin-cursed world. Amen. Amen. They were excited. They were telling people. The Bible says in verse number 18 that they went and they told, verse number 17, abroad, saying what was told them concerning this child. And verse 18 says, "And all that they heard, and all they that heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds." Well, now, preacher, if we tell it, nobody will care. Well, these folks did. You'll never know till you tell it. Amen. What a wonderful testimony. That's where I want my reaction to be, right there. Captivated. I don't want to lose the wonder of it all. I don't want to lose the wonder of it all. Preacher, we've celebrated, we've done this 100 times. Well, not 100, but some of you maybe, but we've done it 50, 60. We've done it so many times. Don't lose the wonder of it all. God sent His Son, brethren. God sent His Son for you. Where would we be if God had not sent His Son? Let's not lose this. For the pageantry and all the things that are trying to crowd our minds and cause us to forget the importance of what this season stands for. God sent His Son. As we stand to our feet, Bethlehem brought God to us. But thank God, Calvary takes us to God. This is just the front side of Christmas. Amen. Amen. I'm glad that there's more than Bethlehem in the life of Jesus. I'm glad there's a place called Calvary and an empty tomb. What's your mindset this season? Oh, I'll be glad when it's all over. I've lost a loved one. And listen, our table will be without a loved one this year. I understand that. We'll have an empty seat at our table too, okay? So I'm not making light of that. I'm not. I understand that. But it's by the grace of God, I'm not going to let it rob me of the joy that God sent His Son for me. God died for me. Jesus bled and suffered and died that I could have a relationship. I could have my sin forgiven. I'm not, by the grace of God, I don't want to allow the traffic and the shopping and all the pressures that try to crowd us in. I don't want to allow that to cause me to lose sight of what this is really about. And God help you. Don't miss it now. Let's bow our heads together. Don't miss Christmas. Don't miss it. You say, oh, I won't, preacher. I got it circled on the calendar. Oh, that's not what I'm talking about. It's not. Don't miss it. Please don't miss it. As we bow our heads together,